Now, it's hard for me to believe, but it has been almost 22 years since I first got my learner's permit and got behind the wheel of a car. And that time, like, I mean, it went by so very fast. But I'll never forget, when I was first learning to drive, my parents would take me out. And I remember one time we got in the car, and my dad was actually teaching me that particular day. And whenever I would get in the car, I would always immediately, the first thing I would do is I would reach for the radio and I would just crank that bad boy up. And I'll never forget that my dad one time, he reached over, I had just turned it up, and he turned the radio down. And, you know, most likely it was probably because he just didn't want to hear what I was listening to and it was too loud. But he said something to me in that moment that has stuck with me for 22 years that I have never forgotten. He said, "Justin, when you're in a vehicle and you have the music cranked up all the time, you won't hear if there's an issue, if there's a problem going on with your car. Sometimes you actually have to turn the volume down. You have to turn the noise down in your vehicle so that you can hear if there are any problems going on with your car. How are you going to hear that rattle? How do you know if there's something wrong with the engine if you don't ever turn the noise down?" You see, we've been in this series now, this is week three, that we're calling Winning the War on Worry. And what we've been talking about is this issue, this challenge that every single one of us, I don't care who you are, from the pastor up here to those of you sitting in the seats here in person to every person watching or listening online, we all struggle with worry and anxiety in some way. Some of us to more degrees, more intensity than others, but we all struggle with this. Right? We are living in an unbelievably anxious world. We're living in a worry-filled world. And we've talked about a whole bunch of different reasons over the course of the last several weeks for why that is, but I am so convinced of this. One of the biggest reasons that we are worried, one of the biggest reasons that we are anxious all the time, is that we are terrible at slowing down, resting, and turning down the noise. We are living in a culture that is just busy, 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 go, go, go all the time, right? And if you look at the statistics today on technology and how that is kind of the anxiety and worry that we're seeing, it correlates directly with the increase in technology, right? Like, we have TVs, we have our smartphones. I mean, our smartphones are one of the biggest reasons, and it is for me for sure, whether we realize it or not, that we are anxious, right? We are in a culture now where we are supposedly more productive, right? We have technology that makes our lives more simple, more easy, more productive. And yet, I don't know about you, but I find I'm more anxious than ever with that productivity, because here's what happens to me. That's supposed to make me more efficient, more productive. I find myself working more. I find myself constantly engaging that, and there's hardly ever any time to rest. I mean, how many of you, come on now, be honest, take your phone into the bathroom with you, right? Most people do, and if you say that you don't, I'm calling you bluff, okay? There was a time when you went to the bathroom and you at least had 5 minutes, or if you're a long you-know-whatter, maybe 10 or 15 minutes in there, right? Where you just got some silence, some quiet, right? Now everybody's in there with their cell phones. They're in there on Instagram. They're checking their email. Some of y'all are Snapchatting in there. Please stop doing that. It's creepy and weird, right? But the point I'm trying to make is this, is that we don't slow down ever. We're just go, go, go. There's no time to rest. There's no time to quiet the noise. And I believe it is making us more anxious than ever. And so today I want to talk about this for a little bit. What I want to do is I want to add a tool to the toolbox that we talked about last week. Now, if you remember last week, we talked about two very specific tools that we need in our arsenal if we're going to combat this issue of worry, right? It's number one, praying with thanksgiving. And I encourage you, if you missed the message last week, go to our YouTube channel or get our podcast, go and listen to that message. A powerful tool for fighting the anxiety and worry in our lives on a daily basis. Praying with thanksgiving, being thankful for what God has given us makes it a lot more difficult to worry about the things that he hasn't, right? So we're praying with thanksgiving, but we're also putting our thoughts, we're putting our mental energy towards good things, toward the truth of God's word, toward things that are pure and lovely and admirable, right? These are the things that we talked about last week. These are the tools that we have to have in our toolbox if we're gonna fight worry on a daily basis. Because what happens for me is I can know in my heart from week one that I'm to be seeking the kingdom, that it's all about my heart, that I shouldn't be chasing after the things of this world. But when the worry hits, when the anxiety comes, I need something tangible to grab onto to help me in the day-to-day. And I think all of us do. See, here's the fundamental truth that I want us to grab onto today, kind of the fundamental tool or tool from the toolbox. It's that we were not created, you and I, we were not created to just go, go, go all the time. We were not created to have the volume turned up in our life's vehicle 24/7. There has to be times when we turn it down, when there is some silence, when there is some stillness to our lives. Because if we don't, we are going to be worried and we are going to be anxious a lot. And so this week, these are the two tools that I want to dig into: the disciplines of stillness and meditation. Stillness and meditation. And as we begin today, we're going to start in the book of Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38. And we're going to look at an encounter that Jesus has with two women who have a very, very different response to being in relationship with him. And I believe there's so much that we can learn from this account. I believe if we'll take some notes today, if we'll write some things down, if we'll really allow the Spirit of God and his word to kind of infiltrate our heart and our spirit and our mind this morning, this could be a game changer for somebody in the room today. So if you got your Bibles, I encourage you, go with us to Luke chapter 10, verse 38. If you don't have your Bible, the words will be up on the screen. So this is how this account begins. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. So I'm going to stop there real quick for a second. So Jesus and the disciples, they're traveling from town to town. They're doing ministry. Jesus is healing people. The disciples are following him around. And he comes to this town called Bethany, where some friends of his live. Their names are Mary and Martha and Lazarus, right? And while he's there, Martha wants to be hospitable. She wants to welcome Jesus into her home. And so that's what she does. She invites Jesus to come and have a meal. And so Jesus goes to the home of Mary and Martha. Now it says she had a sister, Martha did, called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. So she came to him and she asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me! Exclamation points. Now we have two sisters here, right? Martha, who most likely is the older sister. This is her house. Maybe she might be widowed, right? Because she owns this home. This is her house. Mary is the younger sister. And in this account, we have two very different responses, right? Jesus comes, he's hanging out at the house. Martha is getting the meal prepared like a good hospitable host would do. And what is Mary doing? Mary is sitting in the living room, chilling out, not helping, sitting with Jesus and just talking to him, right? What does it say? The scripture says she was listening to what he said. The original translation of that word is to be intensely focused. She was intently focused on listening to the words of Jesus, on being in his presence. in that moment. That's her response to Jesus being there. Martha, on the other hand, does not have that same response, does she? Martha is running around like a chicken with her head cut off, right? She is going crazy. She's making all the preparations. And I gotta be honest with you, I resonate with Martha big time, right? Because you got a very special guest who's come to your house, right? And so, of course, you need to make sure that everything is perfect. This is Jesus, right? And so I just want you to picture Martha running around in her kitchen, right? Pots and pans are clanging. She's working at the stove. She's trying to chop up all the, you know, ingredients. She's trying to time out multiple things, cooking at the same time, right? Her stress level is just starting to rise and rise and rise. And you know what's not making it any better? Mary is not helping. She is sitting in the living room doing nothing while I am out here doing all of the work. Now, come on, be honest. How many of you ever felt like that before, right? My little sister, my little brother, what? I'm in here doing all the work. I'm doing the responsible thing. She's out there sitting doing nothing. Nothing. And so there's this tension welling up inside of Martha. You can just sense it, right? Put yourself in the situation. She is getting frustrated. The anxiety is welling up inside of her. And then what does she do? This blows my mind that she does this. She walks out to Jesus and she accuses him of not loving her. This is Jesus we're talking about. She accuses the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God of the universe of not loving her. And then she commands him, Jesus, to make Mary come and help her with the preparations. So again, two very different responses, right? Mary sitting with Jesus, listening, hanging on his every word. Martha going nuts in the kitchen. Blood boiling. And I love Jesus' response to Martha. He says, Martha, Martha. And I have to imagine that, you know, he uses her name twice, right? So we know he's very intently talking to her. But he does it in such a calm and kind of loving but stern way. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered. He says, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Or indeed, he says, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. And so you have two women, both in the presence of Jesus. Jesus is there. Two very different responses, right? Mary sitting in the stillness, in the quiet, just soaking in his teaching, listening, hanging on every word. Martha over here, frustrated, anxious, worried, running around like crazy. And what is the result? Do you think Mary is anxious or worried about anything? No. She has complete peace in that moment. She has complete calm in that moment. Meanwhile, Martha is anxious like no other. She is worried like no other. And so when Jesus looks at them, looks at Martha and says, Mary has chosen what is better. This is what he's saying to Martha and what he's communicating to all of us here 2,000 years later. You want peace? You want a worry-free, you want an anxiety-free life? Sit with me. Be with me. Sit in the stillness, in the quiet with me. Listen to my words. Soak in my presence. Focus on worshiping me, because that's what's happening in this moment. Mary is worshiping Jesus by sitting with him in stillness and silence and just meditating on his every word, hanging on his every thought. And it's brought her such peace. She's not worried, even though Martha is out there banging pots and pans. You know Mary and Jesus can hear her out there going crazy. Doesn't matter. She's so locked in. She's so focused on Jesus. There is nothing that can take her peace away in that moment. Why? Because she's in the presence of the living God, of Jesus Christ himself. And when you are in the presence of God like that, it's like you're in a bubble. That there is nothing outside of you that can jack up your peace. Because you are in the presence of the one who brings peace. And this is what I want you to see and hear and just internalize today. The closer we get to God, the closer we get to his word, the closer we get to his presence, the more we block out the noise, the less worried and anxious we become. Because in the presence of Jesus, in the presence of our Heavenly Father, there is no worry. There is no anxiety. Jesus looked at Martha and said, "You are distracted." That's the word he used for her in that moment. Distraction, it always leads to worry and anxiety. And he says, Mary figured out what is, and I love this, what is better, what is best. What is better, what is best as we navigate through this life is not to worry, not to constantly be stressing about every little detail of life. Not to run ourselves ragged, but to be still and silent at the feet of Jesus. This is the lesson that Jesus is teaching Martha in that moment. You want peace over worry and anxiety? It's in my presence. That's where you're going to find it. The problem for me is I'm not good at being still. You know this to be true if you come here on a regular basis, because I literally cannot stand still, right? I'm constantly moving up here and it's a microcosm of my everyday life. I don't sit well, I don't rest well, I don't relax well. There's always something else to do. If I'm not doing something, I feel unproductive, right? And this is just like the lie that I think our culture tells us. Jesus is looking at us and saying, not only is it okay to be still, to sit, to be in my presence, to slow down, you need it. It is essential for your spiritual health. And it is essential to combating, it is an essential tool to combating worry and anxiety. And so I want to talk about two very specific tools, because my question again is, okay, how do I actually do this? How do I get to the place where I'm more like Mary than Martha? Where I'm totally relaxed in the presence of God on a regular basis. I'm sitting in the stillness and the quiet. I'm meditating on his word. I'm receiving what comes from that. The answer is that we have to be intentional. We have to create space for fellowship to happen with God. It will not just happen. It won't. It won't just naturally happen. We have to create the space. We have to be intentional about it. And so the first thing we need to do, this is the first tool, and I want you to write this one down. We have to silence the noise. We got to silence the noise in our life. Nobody understood this better than Jesus himself. If you look throughout the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the life of Jesus, and how he kind of, the rhythm, I'll call it, of his life, it was rest, solitude, silence, work. Rest, solitude, silence, work. Rest, solitude, silence, work. And the rest, solitude, and silence came before the work. It was preemptive. It was proactive. Think about the very first thing that Jesus did before he ever launched his ministry, right? He's been a carpenter. He grows up as a carpenter. He's really not started his ministry yet. What did he do? He went out into the desert for 40 days and he fasted and he prayed and he spent quiet time in the stillness with his heavenly Father. And then he went and he did ministry. And that pattern remained the rest of his ministry, right? He would have a day where just the crowds were following him. He was teaching all day. He was exhausted. And you know what he would do? He would get away. This is what Luke chapter 5:16 says. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. See, in our culture, we often think of lonely as being a negative thing. And it obviously can be a very negative thing. No one should feel alone, right? Especially if you are in the presence of God. If you have Christ, if you have him as your Savior, he's with us all the time. The Holy Spirit of God is with us all the time. Nobody wants to feel lonely in that respect. But in this way, where Jesus finds himself alone, it is such a good thing. It is a powerful, powerful thing. The rhythm of Jesus' life was he worked and he rested. He worked and he rested over and over again. He would get away. He would pray. He would spend quiet time listening to his heavenly Father, gaining wisdom, getting recharged, and then he would go back out to do the work that his Father had called him to do. See, I'm so convinced of this. I'm convinced of it in my own life, and I'm convinced of it in yours. I'm convinced of it in our culture that most of us, we do not experience God or his peace because we are not still enough, we are not silent enough, or alone enough to actually experience it ever. And I know, believe me, I became a parent a little over 2 years ago, coming up on 3 years. And if you got kids, getting any kind of alone time, it is unbelievably difficult. If you have a job that is demanding, it's difficult. If you have a full life where you are engaging in relationships with a lot of other people, and these are all good things, it can be incredibly difficult. But we have to make it a priority. We have to find time to be silent, to be still in his presence. Because without that, we will not be recharged. We will not find the peace that we are looking for. We will continue to be worried and anxious because like Martha, our mind will be on all of these things, right? Not necessarily bad things, but not the most important thing. What did he say to Mary? Let me tell you, or to Martha, he said, let me tell you, Mary has chosen what is better. What is better, what is best is being in my presence because that is where you will feel fulfilled and filled up and recharged. And so my question then is, okay, what does this look like practically? Right, for each of us. We're talking about tools in the toolbox. If they're not practical, then it's a pointless tool, right? What could stillness, what could silencing the noise look like for each one of us? Well, I think it can look a lot of different ways. How about this one? Let's just start with this. How about in the morning when you wake up, not reaching for your phone as the first thing that you do when you wake up? I am so guilty of that, right? The alarm goes off, which for a lot of us now is on our phone. So that makes it difficult, right? And then the first thing I do is I reach for my phone and I start checking my email and, oh, let me see about Instagram. What did they post last night while I was asleep? You know, like we immediately just begin to engage in doing. What if we just laid there for a moment? Took a deep breath. Thank you, God, for waking me up today. Wow, this quiet. The house is quiet right now. Nobody's awake. Oh, it's so nice. And just soak in the stillness and the silence. What about just sitting at your coffee table, again, without your phone or without the TV on, with a cup of coffee in the morning and just looking out the window? Birds chirping. Maybe the sun is shining like here once every 60 days or something. Might actually see it, right? But just enjoying the silence. Listening to God. Having fellowship with him. How about when you're driving in your car? Go back to the original illustration of the day. Instead of turning the radio on or cranking up the podcast, unless it's the True North podcast, of course, right? But instead of doing that, just how about just driving in silence, in stillness? There are so many opportunities throughout the day to have just little micro moments of stillness and silence, and I think we're missing out on it. And I think it's a huge reason why we're anxious. But I also think it is vitally important that we are taking some actual concentrated time. And I'm going to throw a challenge out there for you today. What if you took 30 minutes a day, just 30 minutes, to just sit in stillness and silence? To just listen, to just be in the presence of God. Maybe for some of us, it needs to start with 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Because I don't know about you, but in this kind of ADD culture we're living in, and for me, 5 minutes of silence feels like 3 hours, right? But I think that's because we don't practice it, because we're not used to it. We're so used to the noise, we don't even know what stillness or silence feels like. I went to Colorado on a trip my senior year of college, and we hiked up into the wilderness where there was literally like no cars, no planes, no lights, nothing. And the silence was like deafening. It was almost uncomfortable how still and silent it was. And yet it was beautiful. It was amazing. And so what I believe we have to do is we have to create that space, right? Intentionally every day. Maybe it's the first 15 minutes or 30 minutes when you wake up. Maybe it's in the evening, whatever. Create that space each day. But then we need to create space weekly for an entire day. To have Sabbath. Now that word Sabbath is an Old Testament word. It was part of the Ten Commandments. It was one of the commandments to the Israelites, right? And while we are no longer under the law, under the covenant of Sabbath in the way that the Israelites were, God still calls us to rest. He still calls us to Sabbath on a regular basis. And I am terrible at this. I am terrible at Sabbath. I am terrible at taking a day where I say, you know what? I'm not working today. I'm not checking email today. I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to be in stillness and silence. And I need to make this so clear today. Stillness and silence don't always mean complete stillness and silence. Sometimes it is just blocking out all of the noise of everyday life so that we can engage with our family. Just spending time with them, again, with no phones or laptops open or TVs on. We need that so badly. Our children need that. They need to see that. The statistics out there are scary right now for the next generation. The amount of technology that they're consuming, it's everywhere. They can't get away from it. It's in school, it's in their homes, it's everywhere. And we are now seeing children, kids, more anxious than ever. Kids who should have no reason to be anxious or worried. They shouldn't have a care in the world. I'm not saying it's all attributed to technology, but I think it's absolutely a contributing factor. Because there's not enough stillness. There's not enough silence. There's not enough just, hey, why don't you sit with a crayon and be creative? Why don't you go outside and play in the dirt, right? Even as adults, we need to pick up our crayon and we need to go play in the dirt sometimes and get away from the noise of this life. I so encourage you to do that, to Sabbath, just one day a week to slow down. I love this verse, Psalm 46:10. It says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and what? And know. Know that he is God. Be still and know his truth, his love, his promises, his provision. When we are go, 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 it's hard to even remember any of that stuff. But when we are still and focused on him, we can know. We experience the fullness of his presence. Start building this into your life. That's my challenge to you. As my church family, as the people that I have the blessing of shepherding, I want to see you thrive. I do not want to see you worried and anxious. Neither does your Heavenly Father. This tool is essential. Be still. Why? Because I think it's in the moments of solitude and silence that God often speaks the loudest. He's there. He's with us all the time. If you know Christ, the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you. That means he's with us all the time. He's speaking to us all the time. We don't hear him because we don't ever take the time to be still or be silent, not because he's not speaking. That's why. And so I can't encourage you enough to do that. But here's the second one. Meditate on the word. We need to silence the noise, but we need to learn to meditate on the word of God. We talked last week about our thoughts, right? Our thought life, how we think, putting our thoughts on the right things. Well, it's really hard to do that, for me anyway, when there's a lot of noise going on around me, right? It's hard to think when there's so much noise, and it's really difficult to actually put our thoughts on the word of God without a meditative kind of mindset. Now, I want to talk about this word meditation for a second, because I think there's a lot of confusion about that word meditate. There are a couple of different types of meditation, but there's only one that is biblical, that is true, that is right, that is holy. Right? The type of meditation that we think of nowadays is what I would call Eastern meditation. It's transcendental meditation. And what that is all about is emptying your mind, right? That's what, if you watch any type of yoga, any type of Eastern meditation, it's all about emptying your mind, emptying your thoughts so that you can find the truth inside of yourself, right? You can find the light inside of you. I'm just gonna call it how I see it. It's bunk. The truth is not found inside of you. The truth is found in the word of God. And so there is a huge difference between this Eastern transcendental kind of meditation and biblical meditation. And then this is so important for us to get. Biblical meditation is not about emptying ourselves of anything. It is about filling ourselves up with the word of God, with his truth. That is where truth comes from. That is the light that we are looking for is the light of Christ. It is the light of the word of God inside of us. And so when we meditate biblically, when we meditate on the word, what we are doing is we are putting our focus, all of our energy, right, into soaking in the word of God, allowing the presence of the Holy Spirit to fill us completely. And this is an essential tool against this battle of worry and anxiety. Biblical meditation is allowing the truth to come from the outside of us, right? To fill us up and then actively and kind of regularly meditating on that truth. I don't think we do this on a daily basis. And I know that there are a lot of you who you're in the Word, you're reading the Word of God, and that is a good thing. That's a powerful thing. And reading it is better than not reading it. But I believe Scripture calls us to meditate on the Word, to do more than just read it. It's not just a book. The Word of God is the very nature of who God is, right? It's his character. It's his nature. It's not just words on a page. And what we do and what I do a lot of times is this: because I'm in a rush, because I'm busy, because I've always got something else to get to, because I don't allot time, I either listen to my Bible while I'm quickly scrambling my eggs in the morning, or in my car while I'm on my way to work, or I quickly read through it, I rush through it, and I don't really get anything out of it. And I think for many Christians, I've heard this before as a pastor, I've heard it from some of you. Like, I read the word of God, but I don't get anything out of it. I believe this is why. Because we do not take the time to meditate on it, to slow down, to stop rushing through it. At the beginning of the year, we gave out these chapter a day journals. for each of you. And we still have some of those left. If anybody would want one of those, please come and see me after service. I would love to get one in your hands. But it's one chapter a day. And the whole point of that is we don't want to read too much because we know that if we try to consume too much, we'll get nothing out of it. We're going to meditate on this small portion, this small section of scripture so that we can just allow that to overflow in our life. That's the difference between just reading it and meditating on it. God's word is consistent on this. The difference between reading and meditating. I want to read you just a couple of references from God's word. I love these. It says, "Oh, how I love your law." This is Psalm 119:97. "I meditate on it all day long. God, I love your word. I see its value. I see that it has the answers to the challenges that I'm facing on a daily basis. I see that it brings peace and joy and contentment. I love your law. I want it buried deep in my heart. And so I'm going to meditate on it." When? For 5 minutes a day? He says, all day long, it is top of mind. I am meditating on it. And as we do that, it will change us. It will change our thought patterns. It will change our heart. How about this one? Isaiah 26:3, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you," whose mind is meditating on you. Why? Because he trusts in you. I love this. He says, it keeps us in perfect peace. Peace. Don't you want perfect peace? I do. I want perfect peace. I want no worry. I want no anxiety in my life. Isaiah says, "Keep your mind stayed on the word of God, on his law, meditating on it day and night." How about this one? Psalm 1:1-3. "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that the sinners take or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers." I love this imagery. Those who meditate on the word of God, it says they are like a tree planted by streams of water. Everything they do prospers. Only good can come out of planting ourselves by the living water of our Heavenly Father. My grandfather, when he was alive, he used to live in Florida for a while, and then he moved back to central Pennsylvania for the last 15 years of his life or so. And he bought this house, and I'll never forget, there was this creek in the back. And in this, next to this creek, he planted these four, I think they were maple trees. And they were just these, you know, little typical like 4, 5, 6 foot maple trees. But he planted them right next to the water. And I have never seen trees grow so fast. And I believe they're still there to this day, and they are like 40 feet high, 50 feet high now, 20 years ago. And it was amazing to watch those trees grow. And I believe the reason they grew so very quickly and grew so healthily, I mean, straight as an arrow, is because they were planted right next to the stream. What is the psalmist telling us today? You want peace? You want to be free from worry and anxiety? Plant yourself next to the living water. Stay there. Don't go away from it. The closer you are to your Heavenly Father, the closer you are to Christ, the more you are meditating on his word, the more you're like that tree planted by the water. The end result of doing that is this constant flow of his peace, of his presence in your life. Don't you want that? I do. I want it every moment of every day. And so again, let's make this practical and we'll be done. What does this look like in the day today? How do we meditate on the word of God. First of all, we have got to find a quiet place, right? We already talked about stillness and solitude. If you're going to really meditate, you can't have noise going on all around you. You can't have distractions going on all around you. You've got to find that quiet place. And then when we find it, when we're in that stillness, when we've focused our energy and our attention on being filled by Him, we read it. And we read it slowly. We don't rush through it. Maybe it's three verses that day. Maybe it's one verse that day. And we just focus on it and meditate on it. Let it fill us up. We listen to it. What did Mary do when she sat with Jesus? Was she talking? No, it says that she listened, right? She intensely focused on Jesus, on His word, on His truth. We need an intense focus on His word. We need to listen to it. And then, and this sounds so, I know, it sounds so like old school, kind of Sunday school and churchy, but I am telling you right now, there is so much power in this. We need to memorize it. We need to know the word of God, to meditate on it day and night. We need to have it in our heart. We need to have it in our mind and our spirit. And so I want to encourage you, church, memorize the word of God. Not so that you can check a box and say, oh, I memorized a verse in scripture. Look at all the knowledge I have. No, knowledge is nothing without actually putting it into practice. Begin to actually know it, memorize it, love it. And when you are faced with moments throughout the day where you feel worried and anxious, you go back to the word of God that you have been meditating on. And it will bring you that peace, as we talked about last week, that surpasses all understanding. Guys, if you're worried today, if you find yourself anxious on a regular basis, I believe this is why for many of us. I believe it's why for me more often than not. I do not slow down. I do not rest. I do not put myself in places of solitude or stillness or silence. I do not meditate on God's word enough. And the result is anxiety and worry. Today, beginning today, would you do this with me? Would you begin to carve out time to be still in His presence? Would you begin to meditate on His word? Not just reading it to check the box and say, I got through my Bible in a year, or whatever plan you happen to be on right now, but to truly meditate on His word. And I promise you this, if you'll do that, if you'll begin to do that on a daily basis, build it into the rhythm of your life, watch and see how your worry and your anxiety fades from that. Amazing. That's what we were created to do, to be in relationship in that way, to sit like Mary at Jesus' feet in the stillness and listen and be filled up to overflowing. Now, I'm so thankful for Christ. I'm so thankful that He came into this world to die for me, to die for you, to pay the penalty for my sin so that I could have that direct relationship with Him. We don't have to go through a priest. We don't have to, you know, break through some barrier to get to Jesus. He broke through it and came to us so that we can have that peace, so we can be in that stillness and have those moments with Him. See, what this stillness and solitude and meditation is really all about, it's about fellowship. It's about worship with our Heavenly Father, with Jesus Christ. And so today we're going to do something that I love doing around here. We're going to take communion together. We're going to fellowship with our Savior. And I don't know what your week has been like. I don't know if you're just like in a season where you are so busy and overworked and you just feel like you never get quiet, you never get silence, you never get an opportunity to just fellowship and sit with Jesus. Well, here's a moment. Here's an opportunity, even if it's just for 5 minutes, to just sit in the stillness and listen. We're going to sing a song here. Hopefully you have the communion elements. If you don't, one of our ushers will be around. We'll make sure you get the cup and the bread If you're joining with us online, I encourage you, go to your kitchen, grab some elements. We're going to take these in a moment. But for the next couple minutes, would you maybe just completely try to block out all the noise in your life? I know you got lunch plans. I know tomorrow's Monday. I'm already thinking about the sermon I got to write for next week. I'm trying not to, but that's where I go. That's where my mind and my heart want to go. No, I want to be still right now. I'm just going to be in your presence, God. And as we do that, would you think on what Christ did for you? In a moment, we'll take those elements together, but my hope and prayer for you, for us as a church family, is that we would learn the discipline of stillness and silence and meditation. Because I believe the outflow of that will not only be peace and less worry and less anxiety for us, there will be an outflow to the world around us as well. Let's listen to this song.